PlayStation. Unchained.
Hello everyone and welcome to PlayStation Unchained. We're back. It's been an interesting week. For anyone that doesn't know, I've been on two other podcasts and now I've got two more podcasts to do today. Plus talking is hard, but not talking, well, words are hard now, but joining me as I talk is Gary. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Ben.
How are you doing today?
Good to be here today. I'm all right, man. Hey, you know, cough drops help.
Yeah, I wish I'd gone out to buy some, but I forgot to buy any. And then by the time I was thought about it, the shop had closed, because the shop closed at 6 o'clock here, where I go to. Mm.
Yeah, I learned watching a lot of sports that broadcast journalists and stuff, when they do like commentary for sports, they got bags of cough drops because your voice is going to get dry. And I guess that helps a lot.
I normally have the extra strong, what do you call it? They're like lemon and lime extra strong flavor version. I can't remember what the brand is called, but I normally go for them. They're really good. But I forgot. I might pop out to Sainsbury's after we finish doing this so I can get some. And maybe get some snacks because I've been very good. I've been trying to lose some weight, but I kind of want to have a cheat day. I haven't had any chocolate for over a month, so go for me.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, chocolate is good for you. I don't know why that's fine.
Well, dark chocolate is good for you, and it's very hard to find good dark chocolate that I can actually eat. Mm. You know, and I've been really craving is Toffee Crisps, and I haven't been able to find them anyway, so it's fine. For anyone who wants a Toffee Crisp, is a milk chocolate bar that's filled with caramel and biscuit pieces, or as you'd like to call it, cookie, I guess.
It's that really sounds nice. Delicious.
Yeah. But if you can eat, by the way, if you can eat one of those, only one of those, you're a king, because I have to eat more than one. I'm sorry. because they're so small. Like, I'm not, they're like, oh, it's because, no, it's, they really are like, they're quite like tiny, especially nowadays where they with shrinkflation. Let's see if I'm mind. Like they're 38 grams, which you're in ounces in America, right?
No, I think so. Yeah.
It's just over 1 ounce for the entire bar, including wrapping. Mm. So, yeah, there you go. That shows you how big the bar is. So yeah. Anyway. Enough talking about Toffee Crisps, because this isn't Soundbites. Go check out Soundbites, the Snack Size podcast where I talk about snacks. We've got Alfonso joining us today. Hey, Alfonso.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing today?
I am well. Can't complain. My dad's doing well in his therapy sessions. My sister's birthday is Tuesday. She's coming down to celebrate with us. So happy future birthday to my sister. Pre-download for Dragon Ball 2 is the following day. I'm excited to have it ready and download it for Friday. So yeah, it's gonna be a good week.
Oh, Dragon's Dogma. I thought you said Dragon Ball. I got confused for a second.
Yeah, I thought you said Dragon Ball as well. I was like, what? Have you downloaded the character creator, Alfonso?
I have. Still haven't messed with it yet. I'm going to do it tomorrow because I took tomorrow off. Well, no, sorry, it's Tuesday off. My sister.
It's a good thing to get going on it before the game comes out because your character transfers over because there's a lot you can do. It's kind of wild. Okay. Just so you don't waste time doing it when the game comes out.
Yeah, doing the game, yeah.
Oh. Anyway, but I posted a picture of what Toffee Crisp looked like in our Discord. Anyone else can Google it, but yeah, that's what one looks like. It's delicious. Anyway, I guess we should talk. Yeah. I guess we should talk about gaming news, right?
Sure.
and I want to talk about Final Fantasy 14. I know! Final Fantasy 14 on this podcast, who would have guessed it? They announced recently that on Monday the 25th of March, which is next week, they will be starting a test for cross-region data center travel. So that if you play on the North American servers, you'll be able to transfer over to the Oceania data center. Also, if you play on the European or Japanese data center, you'll be able to transfer over to the Oceania data center. This is so that you're able to, they're testing out to see if the ability to swap data centers regions will be viable in the future. The main reason for this is to try and help with fix logging queues with the Race of Dawn Trails, so that when the new expansion comes out, if you try to log in during prime time and there's like a 5-hour queue, you'll have the ability to jump to a slightly more empty data center, so that way you will have less of a logging queue. The reason why they pick Oceania is because currently Oceania is probably one of the least populated data centers out there. In fact, it is the least populated data center because it's one of the newest ones. So they're allowing the transfers to Oceania, but so that way there's, you know, for this time period, it'll at least mean that they've got a busy server, and B, it, rather than screwing up all the other servers, they've, you know, making sure that it works okay going to a less populated one. Thoughts on this, Gary?
No, it's good. It's good for that reason. I was going to ask you, like, what's the point of it? Like, is it region locked that way? But I guess this helps if you're able to start Dawn Trail on a less busy server instead of waiting hours in a queue. And then, you know, in a few weeks when it calms down, you can go back to whatever server you want. So, no, well, this is good.
Technically, it's region locked right now, like, because currently you can data center travel on your region. So if you're on America, you can data center travel between Aether, Primal, Crystal, and Dynamis. So that way, if you do have friends on a different data center, you can actually jump over and play with them. You can do content with them. For some reason, the only thing you can't do is weddings. You can't attend their wedding. I don't know why that's... And I think Ishgard Restoration Area you can't go to, but that's because of people abusing that when it first came out, and they haven't changed that back. But yeah, apart from weddings, you can pretty much do everything with your friends. So you could just jump between data centers. So yeah. With this, though, you'll be able to jump between region data centers, hopefully. But it's a test.
That's pretty good. I mean, if it's able to hold up is the other question. I mean, other regions have better, I guess, service, you can say, than other regions. So if I jump to a region that has, you know, not as great online service, obviously I'll feel that impact trying to play. But we'll see how it works for them. I hope it works out well for them.
I'm curious to see how it works with, you know, Final Fantasy 14 being a huge game, and this is switched to a different server temporarily just to play it. Yeah, I'm curious to see how it works.
They are worried about different communities' play styles. Sorry, carry on, Alfonso.
Go ahead.
They are worried about different players, because the Japanese players play a little differently than the North American players, who play a little differently than the European players. So they are worried about translation issues and also play styles clashing with each other. That is one of the reasons why it's a test rather than just doing it, because they want to make sure that there's no like major community backlash because of this.
Well, you're going to get backlash if you have to wait 3 hours to get into the game. You know, like, it was a major problem with the last expansion, you know.
People waited a long time. I remember Rawbon Extreme. Well, luckily I didn't get hit by it myself, but Rawbon Extreme and Pippin Ultimate, because the storyline had an NPC you had to go to continue the story. And there was a fight that was linked to that NPC. That wasn't a long fight. It was only like 10, 15 minutes. But that meant everybody going through the story on the first day had to go to that NPC and had to do that fight. But because there were so many people on every server trying to go into the fight at the same time, it was just causing the instant servers to crash. So some servers were literally just making queues to try and stop that from happening. They were just making a line out in front of the NPC. So hopefully stuff like this will help with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's something we talk about all the time, right? Like, they should just buy more servers. Well, yeah, that'll fix the problem at that moment, but will it carry, like, will it be needed the longer, you know, the game is active? Because let's face it, say, like, 80%, you know, for example, this is just an example, like, 80% of Final Fantasy 14 players buy Dawn Trail, right? And then, you know, it's super popular for the first 2-3 weeks, and then after that, say 40% of those players stop playing, you know, then you just bought all these servers for no reason. And it was a waste of money. So yeah, it sucks. It's hard finding the middle ground. Obviously, Helldivers has run into this problem when it came out. You know, they've kind of figured it out to a degree right now. So we'll see what else happens. I mean, I hope it works for them. I hope they figure it out.
And if anyone else want to bring anything up before we move on?
No, you're good.
Either way, I'm excited for more Dawn Trail. Give me Dawn Trail news, please. Thank you. Also, remember, if you're on Xbox, don't claim the free edition, the free star edition, because it's a scam. And don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay.
Scams are fun. Not really.
Helldivers 2 official merch is now... Talking about Helldivers. They're now selling merchandise. You too can buy merchandise based on Helldivers 2. US, Latin America, Europe, in the UK and Germany. You can get a UK Germany kit from Amazon or Insert Coin. Oh, okay, good. I trust those way more than I do Sony PlayStation gear, whatever it's called. So yeah, you can buy some Helldivers 2 t-shirts, mugs, caps, all the different cool stuff. Gary.
Okay. It's big enough, I guess, to warrant merchandise. I think this is direct from PS Direct, right? That you can only get these from.
In America, in the UK, it's in the UK, it's Amazon.
Okay. It's cool. I mean, it's showing that it's successful, which is great. It's also one of the few games like it. You know, a live service game. I guess you can consider it a live service game. That seems to gain players rather than losing players since its launch. So, more power to them. Keep it up. They deserve the merchandise.
Alfonso.
Yeah, it's good. It's great, like Gary said. Me personally, I'm not going to get it because I have too much merchandise from other franchises as it is right now. And yeah, I don't have the space. So, yeah, I'm trying to actually sell some of the stuff I have. To buy more stuff, because Shannon is letting me. So yeah, I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said someone's not telling me what they're selling, so I can buy it from them.
Well, we just had this conversation like 2 days ago, but I didn't get to tell nobody yet.
I should be the first one to know, even before Shannon.
But you just told everyone, Alfonso. You just
told everyone that this is the part. Oh, I still don't want to do this.
You'll be fine. You don't need all the stuff. You don't need all of it.
I need all of it. I want the stuff.
I'm tempted myself. I like Helldivers 2. I don't know if I'll pick it up at launch release, but I might pick up something. Maybe a cap. I don't know. They look pretty cool. Depending on pricing and release date. Talking about pricing and release date, it seems the game came out that was really broken. At least from what I'm hearing. Star Wars Battlefront, the buggy collection. I've heard a lot of issues with Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection coming out. When people complained about the size of the game being like 100 billion times bigger than the original game, even though it doesn't look that much better than the original in a way. And then it has like hyping, matchmaking, crashes, and like, yeah, it suppose it's really broken at launch. I didn't pick it up because, you know, I wasn't that excited. There was also the controversy of them using mods in the game without giving credit to the mod makers as well. Alfonso?
I didn't pick it up either, just because I don't have the time. I know it's a fan favorite, so it sucks to hear that it has all these issues. Hopefully they get it fixed with a patch, you know, sooner than later. But yeah, honestly, I will pick it up, just not now because I'm really not interested because, like you said, I'm not going to play something that's buggy or, you know, that's broken right now. So yeah, I hate games like that just comes out in problems. So eventually I will get it, just not right now. Better games are on the horizon.
Gary.
I'm sorry, what was the question? I missed that. Why? Distracted. Somebody came into my room.
Star Wars Battlefront is really buggy in hell.
Oh, yeah, it's garbage. I don't know what the fuck is going on there. Aspire, Aspire is not doing very good with anything they're touching right now, outside of, I think, one game. It's not good. How does this happen? People are still confused why it's the file size is so much larger too. I think the original was like 75 megabytes or something like that, and this one was like 67 gigs, and they're like, yeah, what the fuck is going on there? Because it doesn't look that much better. It certainly doesn't play better. It has a capacity of 200 people on a server, which is wild to even think about for that kind of a launch. They're not in a good place. I don't know what kind of promises they're making to get the licensing to remaster and remake these games. But clearly something's not right there, and clearly I think it was a good move for Sony to pull the Knights of the Old Republic remake away from them. A game when it was announced, people were wild for it. Like, hell yeah, Battlefront, the best Battlefront's coming back, and then it's out a few weeks after it's announced, and this is what we got. And I'm sorry, you can promise that you'll fix it, and you're working on fixes, but you've been promising to fix Knights of the Old Republic 2 since it came out, and most people still can't even finish that game because the game-breaking bug that it has is still in the game. So, yeah. I have no faith in Aspyr at this point. Kind of sad.
As I was going to bring up, they pulled it away now. Suppose it's going to be launching next year. Knights of the Old Republic remake, right? I suppose it's still in development. It's coming out next year now. Supposedly.
Yeah, from what we know, it's now in the hands of Saber Interactive, which I have all the faith in. They're in charge of it now, and I'm hoping it's a little out of their comfort zone of the types of games that they're used to making, which is mostly shooters. So we'll see how they handle it. I hope it's good. I mean, let's face it, Knights of the Republic is considered probably the best Star Wars game ever made. And it probably deserves a lot more than what it's getting when it comes to who is trying to remake it and all the bad publicity around it right now, which is unfortunate. So, yeah, I'm hoping Saber Interactive. Yeah, people, if you thought that game was coming out this year, I don't know what you're smoking. But, hopefully it'll be pretty good when they finally show it off and it releases.
This one I picked for Gary. This is Stellar Blade's NSFW skin will make the game more difficult if you equip it. Yes, the skin suit, which makes you basically naked, will remove your shields, making you more vulnerable to attacks. I know that this Gary will probably equip this.
This is such bullshit. This is not what Korean MMOs have taught me with female outfits. The less naked, the more armor I have. Come on. What kind of fantasy game is this? I mean, look, I think it's actually pretty cool. I actually wish that they'd apply this to all the outfits, because I know she has a lot of outfits. I think they said there's like 35 outfits in the game. I wish they'd apply something like this to all the outfits. Like, every outfit, like, changes something about the game. Like, essentially armor, right? So I think it'd be pretty cool if they add this to all the outfits and kind of make people challenge themselves. Like, if you want to see a lot of skin, you're gonna die for it a lot more than other people will. So I think it's pretty cool. I like this idea. More companies should do this. Punish you if you're the smut that you enjoy.
I think this is a low blow. I think it's a low blow for the simple fact that, okay, less clothes, obviously more distraction. I'm already turned off that, you know, it's stated to be a roguelike game. So, and you know I don't like roguelike games. Yeah, y'all both know that. Taking off clothes to be more distracted is focused on the girl and try to focus. I don't know how I feel about this. I have to see how it works when the game comes out. But, yeah, this is a no for me.
This game is going to teach people to play games with one hand. Come on.
Bayonetta already did that, and that included a one-hand mode, right?
If you catch my drift. The sales on that handicap controller is going to go through the roof, man. Sorry, I don't mean to call it a handicap controller. I actually don't know. I don't remember what it's called. You know which one I'm talking about, right? The round one that Sony released?
Yeah. The
accessibility.
Yeah, the disability controller. Thank you.
Accessibility.
Not accessibility, yes. Again, thank you for correcting me.
No worries. Oh, well, there's not much news I know of this week, apart from Dragon's Dogma 2 coming out next week, you know, and Rise of Ronin and all that lot. But news-wise, I don't know much to talk about. But we do have some PlayStation Plus games coming out March 19th. NBA 2K24, which I'm guessing is one of the newest ones because it's 24. There's probably a 25 already.
Yeah, no, last still. Year. Yeah, there's a
25. Yeah, last year.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's still newish compared to some other games. Midnight Suns, Resident Evil 3, Lego DC Super Villains, Mystic Pillars, Blood Bowl 3, Super Neptuno RPG, and Dragon Ball Z Kakarot PS5. Yay! I'm excited for that version. And then also the classics, you've got Jak and Daxter, The Lost Frontier, which I think is the only one I've never played. Cool Borders, which is one of the greatest games of all time. At least the original was. I don't know about this version. And then God Eater Burst, which is kind of funny because of what anime podcast we did. Phoenix Wright. Oh my God. Phoenix Wright. I didn't actually see that was in it. I've always wanted to play one of those, maybe. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. My Hero Academia will also be airing on PlayStation Plus Premium / Deluxe as well. So you'll be able to catch Season 1 of My Hero Academia. So yeah, there's quite a lot of stuff. Quite a lot of cool stuff. Ace Attorney, I might give a try. God Eater, I might give a try. And of course, Kakarot, I think I might play for again because I played on PC. It'd be interesting to see what's up like on PS5. Any games in there that you're excited for, Gary?
Midnight Suns, actually. I kept hearing a lot of great things. I know I kind of disregarded it because of the card battle system that it has. But now I'll get to try it out and see what really makes it so great. So I'm actually excited for that one. I think we get in the PS4 and PS5 versions of that, so that's pretty cool. Kakarot, the PS5 version, I think I'll just go to download it so I can unlock all the trophies automatically, since they got them all on the PS4 version. I think it has the trophy thing here, so I'll get a free platinum.
Wait, didn't you get
there.
The free version when it came out the beginning of last year?
I do, but I have the physical copy of it. And I don't feel like putting in the disc to get the PS5 version right now.
You had a year, Gary.
I know. Leave me alone. Ace Attorney, Ben, is fantastic. I think you'll actually really enjoy it. Those are really fun games.
Objection!
God Eater Burst.
Sorry, I just went
yeah,
that.
God Eater is if you enjoy Monster Hunter, I think you'll enjoy God Eater.
Nice.
Yeah, My Hero, I actually forgot that game even existed. Just another crappy arena fighter.
Yes, terrible.
No, that's not a game. My Hero's not a game.
Oh, that's not the game? Or is it the anime?
Yes, the anime.
Oh. Okay.
Season 1
okay,
of the
I
anime.
Okay, I thought that was the... Okay, I thought that was the game. I was like, oh, that game is not good.
No, Season 1 of the anime is being added to Sony Picture Core, so you can watch it if you're a premium or deluxe member. They're also pleased to say that select series from Crunchyroll will be also added to PlayStation Plus starting March 13th in Mexico, Spain, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Italy, and France. So there you go.
And as you said, Cool Borders was really awesome. So yes, give me more.
Yeah.
Oh, and Neptuno RPG. I'm going to give that a shot finally because it's a turn-based RPG, and apparently you can platinum that game without even finishing it. So,
ooh.
I guess you can get a platinum, like, not even halfway through the game. So,
music to my ears.
Of course it is. And of course, you know, Lego DC Super Villains is probably the last best Lego game.
Yes. Oh, I love that game so much.
So for those who didn't get to play that, that's a really fun game. So.
Yes, it truly is.
I mean, did they finally add co-op online to Lego.
Boom. None of them have.
Then no.
Actually, I think the Skywalker saga has online co-op, isn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Well, that one's a good one then. But the rest are bad. I'm sorry, but Lego is great co-op. And if you don't have friends nearby, online is better than having offline. Or at least having the option to do both. I think that's all the... Because you said what games you'd pick as 12, so, right, Alfonso?
Yeah, it's mostly just Midnight Suns. That's it, really.
Yeah.
Everything else I already play, so yeah.
PS5 Pro Super Ultimate Edition. I suppose it's been leaked. This is my last news story that I know about. Yeah, supposedly the PS5 Pro has been leaked by Moore's Law. Law's dead. And then some other people have come out and said that this is true. Whether it is or not, that's another matter we'll know later on in the year. Suppose it has a bigger GPU with faster system memory and better ray tracing capabilities, reported to be up to 3 times faster than the original PS5 model, with like loads of numbers that don't really matter to people because those like that 67 teraflops of 16-bit floating point, that doesn't even matter to developers because there's a huge chance they're not using 16-bit anyway. They'll be using 32-bit, which means it's less than that. So that number doesn't even matter to people. And even developers doesn't really matter. So, suppose it'll have the PlayStation's new spectral super resolution, which will allow for better upscaling. So things will look less like foggy and soft when you play a higher resolution. Stuff still won't play at technically native and 4K, but most that's the same for nearly every device that exists ever. I'm not sure if I'll pick this up, unless they announce like a PS5 Pro edition of Dawn Trail, which Fantasy 14, then maybe I'll care. But until then, I'll probably stick with the standard PS5 until it breaks, and then maybe upgrade to the Pro or get a 6, depending on when that happens. Gary.
Oh, I'm not a fan of current-gen refreshes. I think this is going to be very expensive. I think this is going to be close to $600 a system. And quite honestly, for me, I don't see the need for it, but I know people are going to fight. Can you hear me?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, Gary, no. Yeah, we can hear you, but no.
Oh, okay.
It's more likely going to be a $700 system, probably, with those specs.
Well, even worse, then. That's going into PS3 territory when it launched. In this market, launching a console at that price, I just don't think it's a good move. I know why it's happening. I think the idea of every game needing to be 60 frames a second is kind of having a bigger impact than I think anybody thought it would. And we see it with every game that gets announced. And if it's not 60 frames a second, all of a sudden that's the only thing people are talking about that game. And honestly, obviously this is, in my opinion, specifically being released for Grand Theft Auto 6. I think the current PS5, there's no way it's going to be able to run Grand Theft Auto 6 at 60 frames a second. So I think that's why this console is coming out. It's for that game in particular. And obviously it's going to help everything else. It's going to help, you know, current titles even. Like Dragon's Dogma, for example, has an uncapped frame rate, but it's kind of just stuck at 30 frames a second. Dragon's Dogma 2, that is. And obviously this is going to help it propel it probably to 60 frames a second. So it's going to help almost every game. I think at that point, almost every game that's going to come out is going to run on the Pro, at least, at 60 frames a second.
I gotta disagree. We know that the GPU, we've been told that the GPU is so much more powerful, but a lot of these games are frame locked due to the CPU being not as good. So if the CPU isn't that much better than the current PS5, I feel like even with the CPU, even with the increase, we'll probably be seeing 30 frames being targeted for GTA 6 on the Pro?
I don't think so, man. I think that's the one game that they need 60 frames a second on.
They'll both run it with a performance mode, of course, but like I feel like both are going to have a 30 FPS mode.
I'm sure it'll have the mode, but I think it'll only have 60 frames a second mode on the Pro. Like, 60 frames will not be possible on the normal PS5.
Oh, it'll be possible. It'll just be blurry as hell. It's going to be possible. It's just going to be a blur fest. It's going to be upscaling from 720p or something stupid.
I hope it's not going to become the case where, like, that's going to be the definitive way to play these games. I don't want the Pro, because it sounds like it's so much more powerful than the PS5, right? I hope it's not like the 3DS version of the PS5. Like, you know, we had the DS and the 3DS came out. I was like, oh, you can only play these specific games only with this new 3DS. And that hurt sales quite a bit for a lot of games. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, if it's $700, like, that's a bad move by Sony. You may as well just release the PS6 at that point. There's no reason to charge $700 for a console that's probably going to be, I don't want to say obsolete, but we're looking at maybe 2 years after the Pro that the PS6 is going to come out. So, like, what's the point of me buying that thing?
I suppose they're aiming for 2028 for the PS6? 2027, 2028?
Mm-hmm.
That's 3 years.
Yeah, that's...
Well, three to four years.
Oof. I don't know. I know people want it. I know it's going to sell well. It's going to sell very well. Well, it's going to sell well depending on the price. If it's $700, I don't think you're going to get a big
It's going to sell out. No, it's going to sell out.
It's going to sell out because they won't have enough to go around, just like the PS5.
Yeah. It's going to sell. I think it's going to do okay. Like, you got to understand, GPU prices alone are stupidly, stupidly expensive. Like, and they still sell like hotcakes. So there is a market out there that will buy this. Now, whether it'll keep getting those sales, I don't think so. Like, I can't remember, but so I don't. Yeah,
that's the thing, right, Ben? Like, you have to have a reason to buy it. Yeah. Like, if you're spending $700, like, the software has to give you a reason to buy this thing, and that's going to come down to the developers. Like, how much more can they do with their game to justify you buying this over what you already have? Like, if you're going to sell your PS5 so you can like fund half of the price of this new thing, you got to justify that. And, you know, we talked about this with a lot of companies. Like, you can't make one version of the game infinitely better than it is on another version or on another console, right? Especially if it's in the same family. Microsoft has had this problem, obviously, for a while now since the Series X came out. We're seeing that with the Series S, where the limitations are obviously there and it's hurting developers. Like, you don't want that with the PlayStation. Like, and I fear, like, if they force something where some games are going to be like 30% better, for example, on the Pro than they are on the normal PlayStation, that's the same thing as the Series S and Series X difference. You know, it's going to hurt. You're going to force the developers to make essentially two different versions of the same game on the same family of console.
I'm trying to find out what GPU it's closest to. I think it might be close to a 4070. I think it's close to a 4070 when it comes to GPU performance. Maybe slightly worse. Maybe a 4060, 4070. If it's a 4070 like I think it is, a 4070 alone is £600 just for the GPU. So, yeah, that tells you the price of graphics cards nowadays.
Yeah.
That's UK price, by the way. For some reason, graphics cards and computer companies don't like to be nice to UK. We always get screwed over when it comes to pricing. They're like, oh, what price is it in America? We'll release it at $600. Okay, so what price do we want to release it in the UK? Well, $600 would be £400 or whatever. Like, one second. Like 600 is like, what? Yeah, £470. Okay, so it's going to be £470. That 470-ish pounds. Let's make it 500 due to tax. Now let's just release it for 600.
Yeah, just keep the same number. Just change the currency.
Yeah, just change the currency. That's how currency works, right? You just change the currency symbol, and then it's the same price. So, yeah, that's always been the problem with computers. Especially Sony's and Microsoft have always been pretty good with that when it comes to hardware. But Nintendo, especially with the, like, I remember when the DS came out, the DS was like $220, and then it was like £230. Like, that's not how pricing works, Nintendo. But that's the last news article I have. Does anyone want anything else they want to bring up?
A leaked trailer for the now canceled Spider-Man multiplayer game released online. Got leaked online. Spider-Man: The Great Web featured four different Spider-Man: Peter Parker, Miles Morales, Spider-Gwen, and somebody else who I actually don't know if they named. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer or not. It had you going up against the Sinister Six. Some concept art released of some characters, including the Green Goblin, who actually looked really cool. I know a lot of people were upset because they saw Spider-Gwen and they're like, holy shit! And they don't get to play as Spider-Gwen anymore. Other characters were going to be featured as well. Scarlet Witch was going to be fundamental to the whole multiverse part of the game, where she opens up portals for you and your party to travel to different worlds. The trailer actually looked pretty good. Obviously not finished, but it kept a lot of the mechanics of Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man in there, but in a more multiplayer fashion. Ben, are you mostly upset because Spider-Gwen, or just because it's a multiplayer?
This is a multiplayer. Multiplayer Spider-Man. I much prefer multiplayer, so yeah.
Now, five players, so it was going to be a five-player game. So, bosses against Sinister Six were supposed to be like raid fights. Clearly this was a lot further along than I think people thought it was, because it looks like it was in a functioning build already. Very interesting to see why it was canceled. I wish that will come out eventually, but yeah. A trailer released for it. Alfonso, did you see the trailer?
I saw parts of it. It sucks. I was looking forward to it because, like Ben said, it's a multiplayer Spider-Man game. Shannon was looking forward to it because of Spider-Gwen. Whatever. But, it sucks. Honestly, these are not just because of Spider-Man, but this is the type of game, when it comes to heroes, that I wanted. You know, you pick your hero, your buddy, your partner, whoever picks their hero, and you play together. And this is the closest we got in a long time. And it gets canceled. Yeah, it's disappointing. Honestly, it's disappointing.
Do you guys think that Sony saw the reception of Suicide Squad and even Avengers earlier on and said, this kind of game probably isn't going to work anymore? Alfonso?
Maybe. Well, no. It's more about this. Oh, sorry. Just because Spider-Man's so expensive to make because of all the Disney fees, that there's a huge chance they just wouldn't have, if they had flopped even a little bit, then they wouldn't have made any money and it would have been a lost project. Like, that Spider-Man has to make money. Like, it has to make money because otherwise Disney Plus takes all the money. And even if it did well compared to, like, Suicide Squad, Avengers and all that lot, as long as it has to make enough money to be worthwhile. And, like, yeah, that's the problem.
But the same question to you, Gary, because while back when SMX stuff got leaked, you said you didn't want this type of game.
I didn't want this Spider-Man game?
No, this type of game. Remember when it got leaked and they were saying, oh, there might be a multiple version of all Spider-Man in one game? You and I had this conversation and you said you didn't want this type of game.
Yeah.
You still feel that way?
I do. Yes, I think Sony sees it too. I think that game was the idea of Jim Ryan, and now that he's gone, Sony has obviously cut down on the games as a service, because he was big on the games as a service. They announced, what is it, like 12 games as a service games in development. Obviously, this was one of them. At least we believe this is one of them. I don't want to say that it is, because obviously it's multiplayer, so my mind automatically goes to that. But I think this was one of his ideas. And, you know, I think what's happened is, one, Sony obviously has kind of gone away from that. No, sure, they're still going to do games as a service, but it's not going to be their main focus now, you know. They're making Wolverine, Insomniac Games is. I think they want them to really focus on that. And, you know, if you really think about it, like, if they were ballsy enough to go to Naughty Dog and say, we're canceling your game, and let's face it, right now, Naughty Dog is, you know, I don't want to say their biggest developer, but it's their, I will say, most prized developer in a way of the quality of the game that they're making. I think the best developer right now is Insomniac, because they've literally had the PS5 on their back. They're just carrying that shit every year. But to go to Insomniac and cancel their game, and then, or go to Naughty Dog, cancel their multiplayer game, and then go to Insomniac and back, this is a Spider-Man game. This is our biggest franchise right now, and we're still going to cancel it because we want you to focus on Spider-Man or focus on Wolverine. And eventually, you know, Spider-Man 3 down the line. I do think outside factors also had a role in it. I think they saw the reception to Suicide Squad. And obviously they have a great developer behind there in Rocksteady Games, and we see how that turned out for them. And we saw how Avengers turned out for Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics. I think all that went into effect. I think the problems they're having with Bungie, who they kind of gave the reins to go in and tell everybody how to make their multiplayer game, that didn't work out very well for them either. So I think there's a lot of multiple factors, but I think they just kind of saw, they kind of don't want to go this route. They want to stick to their single-player, story-driven games, which is fine, but it's also a risk when your games are costing $200 to $300 million to make, which is insanity still to me. It's not sustainable. It should never reach those heights of game development. Movies don't even cost that much. It's crazy. So, yeah, I still think it was, like, for me personally, it's not what I wanted, especially because it focuses on the multiverse stuff, which I'm not a fan of at all. I'm sad because I know developers probably wanted this game. Like, they obviously want to work on stuff. And for some people, that was probably a passion project for them, and now it's not. So I hate it for that, because I want people to make what they want to make. Yeah. I hate it when corporations or CEOs be like, oh, sorry, you're not making that, because I don't think it's going to be a big seller, you know? So, yeah. I'm sad at that one, but I'm not sad that I'm not going to be able to play this game, because it's kind of not a game for me. And that was the only story I wanted to bring up.
Okay. By the way, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is so good, and it needs to have more sales. Please go buy Rebirth. Again.
Japan? I have my own theory about why it's not selling very well in Japan. That's just my...
It's because it's on PlayStation? Is that the reason why? Because that's the reason
no,
why?
No, because it's a drastic change from the original story.
No, I don't think that's the reason. I think it's because it's on PlayStation. And PS5 isn't doing that well in Japan compared to Switch. And, you know, because they've been moving to mobile for years now. So I'm not shocked that, it's not as good. It's not selling as well on. Oh God, I have to do maths. I'm not shocked it's not doing as well on PlayStation. So yeah.
Agree to disagree, man. You're probably right though.
But still, those that keep saying, "Oh, then release it on PC." Spoilers, it wouldn't do that well on PC either, just because fact, the PC version won't even affect... Well, it'll do well on PC, but the PC won't affect these numbers because these numbers are physical only. So, yeah.
You also have to remember, Final Fantasy is more of a global franchise rather than a Japanese franchise. They're waiting on one franchise and one game in particular. And then you'll see sales fly through the roof for Square Enix. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Dragon Quest XII.
I don't know. Well in Japan, but I don't think...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying Final Fantasy is a global franchise. Dragon Quest is the Japanese franchise. That's what they're waiting for.
That's what the sales are going to fly. I don't think it's going to do that much. It's going to do well, but it's not going to do... It, like, when I say not that much, I mean, like, compared to, like, previous ones.
The last one that Akira Toriyama was working on, I think it's going to do pretty well.
That's true. Well, especially now after everything that happened. Yeah. If that hadn't happened, though, I don't think it would have done as well.
We'll have to wait for
it. When I say it like that, I don't mean like it's going to do badly. I just mean compared to what it could have done if it had been released on the PS4 or on the Switch. I'm not saying that it's going to do badly. It's just like it's not going to do as good.
Well, it might come out on the Switch too, man.
By the way, he means the
sequel. By the time that game comes out, I'm sure the Switch 2 is going to be out. Or at least announced.
Not the Switch 2, as in it'll be released on the Switch 2. Like, he means the Switch 2, the number 2, for anyone that's listening.
Yeah.
original Switch.
I mean, it's been, 4 years since they announced Dragon Quest XII? And we haven't even seen a screenshot of it. So
I mean, we're more likely also to see more details on, you know, freaking Dragon Quest III.
Yeah, the Dragon Quest III HD remake.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't heard about that in years.
Yeah.
2021. And that's just a HD remake, so that's not even the full game. Not a new game. Oh. Well, I guess it's time for the Metacritic game. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Boop. Metacritic game. I had to go do maths, Gary, for this. I had to go do maths.
I don't know why, but okay.
So, Gary, Outcast: A New Beginning, you gave it 74, Alfonso gave it 77, and I gave it 62, which means it got 68. Which means, if I did maths correctly, both me and you get a point. Because it's 6 above me and 6 below you. So, it's...
What game was it? I don't even remember this game.
Yeah, Outcast: A New Beginning, 68.
Oh, the Outcast. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's dead in the middle of both of our scores. So, I've given us both a point.
Wild.
Because it's literally in the middle. Contra Operation Galguga Ga Ga Ga. Contra Operation Gong Operation Gongaga. Me Gongaga. Gary 70, Alfonso 73, and I gave it 80. And it got 71, so that means Gary gets a point. Yay. Dragon's Dogma 2 doesn't have scores yet, but Gary is currently with 100 points, so 100. So we'll see if Gary gets it right with Dragon's Dogma 2 getting the perfect 10 out of 10, 100 on every site.
Metacritic will never allow that. It'll get 100 on everything, and then one side will give it an 8, and it'll drop to like 80. Because that's how skewed their shit is.
So yeah, Dragon's Dogma 2, Gary 100, Alfonso 92, and me 83. Rise of the Ronin. Gary's like, why didn't you do that last week? It's because we got a show this week, Gary. That's why.
We need games. Don't be mean.
While being mean, you can go first, Gary.
84.
Okay. Alfonso.
86.
You know what? I can feel companies being nitpicky over the graphics. I'm going to go with 78. Hi-Fi Rush, one of the first Microsoft games coming to PlayStation, I think, right? Well, one of the first of the four. Oh, yeah, Pentiment.
Pentiment.
Pentiment. anyway, that's why I said one of the first as well. Because there's four, right? There's Pentiment, Hi-Fi Rush, Grounded, and Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna go first because the game looks good. 85. Alfonso.
82.
Gary.
I think that game was great. I put it on my Steam Deck, so I'm gonna go with 88.
Now, the game that everyone here is totally excited for, MLB The Show 24. I think that's the right one. I don't know. Alfonso.
That is what?
86.
Which, by the way, is a Sony game that comes out on Xbox. There you go, Xbox players. You get a Sony game. Gary.
73.
And I'm going to go with, I don't know, 80. Let's go with 80. I just realized there was some other games that we didn't get scores for last time. Let's have a quick look. Let's have a quick peek if they've got scores yet.
There's also one other big game that's coming out next week. It's going to get reviews.
1 second. Star Wars The Dark Forces Remaster still doesn't have scores. And Yumizu The Mirage still doesn't have scores. What other game, Gary?
Alone in the Dark.
Oh, yeah. Uh, 66.
Hater.
Gary.
The hater right there. I'm going to go with 72.
That doesn't sound that confident. He's such a hater with his high 60. I'm going to go with low 70.
I'm going to go with 70.
Man, my 66 was, you know, I was a hater for that. So it's the 72 and 70.
I didn't say nothing bad about it.
You didn't stop me from saying it. You didn't defend Ben. Yeah,
I was expecting you to be like, oh man, that, you're such a hater. I'm going to give it 85. You're going to get Dragon's Dogma 2 on it and give it 100.
Hey, that was my joke answer that you took seriously. That's not my fault.
Hey, you gave it as an answer. You didn't say this is a joke. This is, you're like, my score is 100. I'm like, okay, fine. And it's totally not to sabotage you because you've got 11 points and we both have 3. Gary, shout us and how can they find you?
Sabotage me. You can find me on Twitter at Gaglosh. That's GAGLAUSH. Shout out to you guys. Thanks for having me on. Shout out to all the listeners. Thank you for listening.
Alfonso, shout outs and how can they find you?
Shout out to you guys. Thank you for having me on. Shout out to all the listeners. Continue to read the articles on PSU.com. You'll find me on Twitter at AliChan7.
Nice. And I am Chili, one half of Moogle Garden Radio. You can find me on MG_Chili on Twitter. You can find me over on Twitch. We stream every day pretty much. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully, with more stuff. Though I'm probably going to be distracted. I'm not lying, because it's World Tournament weekend. So bye. See you all next week. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Goodbye.